You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. You are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen, as you always are. And that's Tuesdays right here, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here in beautiful California on the West Coast. And today on the couch, I'm going to be answering some of your questions that you sent me directly to my email, which I use here at the radio station, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. That's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I do try to give you some straight talk and, you know, help you out with some questions you have. I do get a lot of questions from people, you know, and I just want to clarify that I don't have a therapeutic relationship with you guys. You know, I'm not your therapist and I'm not, you know, telling you how to run your life or live your life. So, but what I am doing is giving you little suggestions on how to help yourselves out stuck with certain things. And I'm also answering some of the typical questions that I get from a lot of people, not only from the Straight Talk Doc email address, but also from a lot of the patients I work with, really a lot of similar questions. So these things tell me that these are some important things that we need to cover and think about in our lives right now. So what we're going to be talking about, I don't know if you read some of my social media stuff that I put out there today, but we're going to talk about how to get rid of some of those negative fears and thoughts of the past. Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm hearing people so often talk about how they're plagued with a lot of thoughts of the past. I think we all are, right? We all are, you know, experiencing that. But I think sometimes we get really overwhelmed with too many of those negative thoughts, and that leads to fearing what ifs in the future and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to briefly talk about that. Also, I have some questions from people asking about some of the guests' subjects that I've covered, especially the one about self-love. You know, I mean, that's really hard sometimes when we give, you know, ourselves a really bad time. We have that little voice in the back of our heads that always says, you know, how can I love myself when I'm always screwing up, or I got fired, or I got dumped from a relationship, and, you know, I just can't find happiness in my life. Well, we can talk about some of those things too. Let's see. I have another question from somebody, not saying anybody's names here. I'm trying to keep it on the down low, so this is confidential. I could make up names, but why? So we're also going to be talking about, understanding our higher selves. What does that mean? And our soul's true purpose. What is that? What is that about? Do we really have a true purpose? And that kind of thing. Also, if we have time, we're going to talk about managing some, you know, anxiety and stress, which we all have as well. But we're going to talk about trying to help people who just are plagued with this stuff. You know what I'm saying? We just get plagued. So we're going to be talking about that as well. And let's get started. So again, if you have questions or comments, you can reach out at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And that's me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And again, I'm not your therapist, but I'm just giving you ideas, suggestions, things that I've learned from all the years that I've been doing this. So here we go. First question from a listener that I received is, I can't seem to let go of negative fears and thoughts of the past, which seem to cripple me. I'm always regretting things that I've done, or I hold on to anger towards others and people who have hurt me in the past. So how can I deal with that? All right, let's jump into it. I can give you some suggestions about negative fears and letting go of the past, because I mean, we all do it. So how often, let me just ask you this. How often do you feel that you can't move on? Right? I mean, we're all sort of referring to things from the past But sometimes it feels like there's a heavy burden, right? We all get stuck with that. And sometimes our friends tell us, sometimes our therapists tell us, whoever, other people, family members say, just let go, right? Just let go of that. But it sounds really simple, but it's kind of hard to do. And I think one of the most common things I hear is people are holding a grudge, or they were, you know, betrayed by someone. And, you know, every time we want to move on, something else in the present might hurt us or remind us of something that happened in the past. Then we go back there and it's like ruminating on it. That's what we call it in psychology, is we're thinking constantly about, you know, just going back to the past and how a person hurt you or whatever they did. It's like binge watching really bad movies. You know what I'm saying? I just hate it and it makes me sad, but I just can't stop watching it. So that's what happens when we can't go, you know, out of the past. The more we watch our life's movies, so as to speak, the more it hurts. But it really is possible to try to stop or pull back that rumination process, guys. But first we got to understand sort of why we get stuck, you know. Why do we continue to live it? Well, there's studies in neuroscience, okay? And again, this is, you know, really looking into sort of not letting go of the past. The brain handles negative and positive information differently, right? Did you know that negative experiences require more thinking? Some people think the opposite, but that's not true. You know, thoughts of negative experiences are processed more thoroughly. So that causes our brains to become better at remembering really bad events, right? So reliving sad memories makes us feel like we're like that hamster on a wheel. No matter how hard we try, we can't move forward. You know, you can't kind of change how your brain works, right? But you can train yourself to get off the hamster wheel. And I always say this, and it kind of requires cutting the emotional attachment that we have with the past, especially the negative experiences. So it's really hard for us to, you know, accept that somebody hurt us, and you know, recognizing an unhappy ending that hasn't been tied up or resolved or anything like that makes us feel really weak. Right? Makes us feel embarrassed. You got hurt. You fell for something. Someone betrayed you, you know. One of my favorite authors on that point is Eckhart Tolle. He's like one of the most popular spiritual authors in this country, in the world, actually. He said, there's a fine balance. This is his quote that I really love. And he says, there is a fine balance, between honoring the past and losing yourself in it. You can acknowledge and learn from the mistakes you made and then move on. And what that is called is forgiving yourself. Okay? You get the point, right? So to move on, what you have to do is sort of reframe your relationship from the past. So how do we reframe? How do we stop those ruminations or those constant hamster wheel thoughts of, you know, going back to the past and how we got hurt and how we can't move on. You know, we just get stuck like binge watching that sucky old sad movie that we keeps us in the pity party mode, right? So what we have to do is stop trying to be the hero of our story. So, and like I said a little bit earlier, our brains really have to work hard to sort of like embracing the past and recreating the story, and nobody wants to look weak. And that's why we sort of construct our idealized version of the past. And what we do sometimes, come on, admit it. Come on. We blame others instead of taking ownership for what happened. Yeah, but somebody hurt me. What are you talking about, Michelle? Everybody, they hurt me. They betrayed me. Okay. That's what happens. Everything in life has a beginning and an ending. You don't need to continue rehashing your past to keep it alive. And like, I was the victim. I was hurt. they hurt me. Make peace with the end, especially if it was ugly, especially if it hurt. Move on, make peace. Say, yep, that person hurt me. They betrayed me, that whatever. People do that. People don't know what they do sometimes. They don't understand how deeply they cut. Sometimes they do, but we don't want to hang out with people like that. You make them go away out of your life. You surround yourself with healthier people. But stop trying to sort of be the hero of your story. You know, like that person is really terrible. When we take ownership for what happened, we say, you know, I guess that I, you know, set this situation up and I put myself in this situation to learn something. Okay. Coming up in a little bit, I have an email from a nice person who really got burned in a relationship and they're really having a hard time with it. So, you know, it sounds like she's really ruminating on, oh my gosh, how horribly treated she was and how, but you know, we need to step into relationships. We need to step into situations. Sometimes we don't know. We don't know people sometimes. Or we can see little signs and we choose to ignore them. Okay. So, you know, just say, yeah, I needed to learn this lesson because sometimes we need to get hurt and have a lot of pain in order to understand what we don't want. We don't want that. What do we want? We want healthy, supportive, loving, kind people around us. Sometimes we don't see the signs. It's okay. We have the experience. What did you learn from it? And what are the signs you want to look for? Okay. Where did you get burned at your work? Where did you have a horrible relationship with your manager or, you know, coworkers or anything like that? How did your friend betray you? Things like that. So, you know, just sort of let that blaming others constantly and say, okay, that person hurt me. They got their own stuff to deal with because they're going to be doing it to others in the past, maybe, or in the future, rather. And take ownership. Say, I needed to learn the lesson and move on. Okay. And also what you need to do to stop ruminating is don't let others define who you are. Do you understand what I mean by that? I mean, like, blaming others when things go wrong makes us lose control. We're letting them define the terms of how we live. You see what I'm saying? We can't control what other people do, but we can control how we react. So focusing on what people did to you is a distraction. So regain control of what you can manage and choose to live life on your own terms, not someone else's, right? That, you know, don't lose... Not that you have to grasp onto everything and be in control of everything, but don't give someone the power, you know, in the past who hurt you to make you crazy all the time and angry and uptight and build your walls. And, you know, you always have to be open and learn. And learn to forgive yourself. This is huge. Because when something goes wrong, we tend to blame ourselves. We do. Many times. Some people blame others all the time. But we have a hard time accepting that we make mistakes. And some of the people who I work with have this like perfectionistic or perfectionist mind that takes over, right? You know, I say to a lot of my patients, I don't like the word failure. I hear this all the time from people. It's like, I failed at that relationship. Huh? Really? I failed in my job. I failed in my project. And you say, well, that's reality. We all fail. Yeah, but it's just the word itself brings a lot of, you know, putting ourselves down and disappointment with ourselves. And there's always that kind of parental, you failed. If we're talking about grades, sure, we fail a test. We don't study or we're not interested or we answer everything or just leave it blank or whatever. Yeah, there's in the school situations or special classes or whatever, we fail a test, sure. But in life, did we make a mistake? Yeah. We all do. Nothing's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And what is perfect, by the way? So you got to learn to forgive yourself, because errors can be corrected. Mistakes are not a final destination, but a stop that prepares us for the journey. So we have to learn from them and continue moving forward. Again, what can I learn from this mistake that I made? Whatever it is, what can I learn? Write it down. Learn to forgive yourself. I screwed up. We all do. But try to kick that word fail out of your vocabulary, because again, it means so many awful things, and we tend to be really hard on ourselves. Also, something else I really want you to hear is, don't let your problems define you, right? When we get so stuck in a problem, it becomes hard to separate the event from who we are. Really? And again, I want to quote Eckhart Tolle. He says, we also create and maintain problems because they give us a sense of identity. Doesn't that suck? Do you know people whose identity is being a victim all the time? Or, I have this problem, or I have that problem, or, you know, what I hear all the time is, my girlfriend, or my guy, my partner, my parent, they're always complaining. And they just love, they live in it. They're like addicted to it. Gives us a sense of identity sometimes. But our stories shape us, but they don't define who we are. So don't let a bitter experience become who you are. So if you let go of a past story, it'll help you make space for new ones. So focus on the here and now and become totally at peace with yourself. Okay? Try to do that. It's like, let it go. Let it go. It's not, it doesn't define me. I am not my problems. I am not my past. You are a new you every day, and you can create it. Something else I love is, it's called building a Teflon mind. Teflon, the stuff that just slides, you know, the material that things just slide off of. So I love this concept. There's like a British Australian Buddhist monk, and his name is Ajahn Brahm, and explains this idea of Teflon mind. And it's really funny. So he says the best way to let go of something that hurts is not to let it stick first. So how do we build a Teflon mind? I love it. So here's the thing. All of our struggles, all of our, you know, we hang on to stuff, stems from attachment, right? We're so in love with someone that we can't separate the me from the we. And we're so passionate about our careers that we let our job titles define our identity. And this is talking about our identity again. Last time we talked about how our stories don't shape our identity, but now we're talking about people. And there's nothing wrong with loving someone or our jobs. The problem is that when we're so attached to them, that the fear of losing them does not allow for us to enjoy them today, right? So we have this fear of, I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose this relationship. We can't separate the me from the we. So letting go of the past is not forgetting what happened, but to let go of our expectations, right? We don't suffer because a relationship ended. We suffer because we wanted it to last forever, okay? Instead of letting broken expectations get stuck in your mind, honor the positive experiences, both the past and the present, okay? And I really think, just to kind of wrap this up, a little bit, but I think most people can't let go of the past because they don't appreciate their present. Right? I mean, how else can we get out of living in the past? Be in the present. Okay. Reframing our relationship with our past requires us to stop thinking about how things should be and accept them for what they are. And I'm going to quote the Dalai Lama. How can I have a show without quoting the Dalai Lama, right? He says, attachment is the origin, the root of suffering. Hence, it is the cause of suffering. And again, that's not about love. Love is beautiful. That's attaching is love, you know, bonding, caring, all those wonderful things. It's very different than, you know, how things should be in life and what they are, right? It's just allow for positive experiences. So letting go of the past doesn't mean that things weren't good while they lasted. It's about remembering the good moments instead of allowing an unhappy ending cloud the whole experience. So if you want to let go of the past, start by appreciating more what you have here and now. And that's major Eckhart Tolle lessons. That's what we're talking about. You know, so some ideas to let go of some of your negative fears. And thank you so much for writing me and asking these questions. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch with me today. We're doing the radio show only. We're not doing Facebook Live or on our on-camera thing. I just thought I'd really clarify a lot of the answers for you just to listen to. And I appreciate you all writing at straighttalkdoc@mail.com so we can all, you know, really help you out. And again, I'm not your therapist. I'm not giving you therapy. I'm just giving you some ideas about how to handle some of these questions that you're asking, you know. So to answer another question, I'm going to talk about the idea of self-love. All right. So a lot of people ask me about, you know, they hear self-love. You know, a lot of my guests here on the couch, wonderful authors talk about you got to love yourself first. And of course, at the end of every show, I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's not a narcissistic thing. It's not saying be selfish. It's saying you got to kind of take care of you, because if you're unhappy inside, you're going to project that out there and you're not going to be the best for other people. Okay. So here's an email, and I'll just make up a name here. What the heck? From Ashley. She says, hey, Doc, I'm really tired of people talking about self-love when I can't find a place to even start with loving myself. All right. She says, I feel so empty. And what can I do about that? So she said, let me just scroll down to her email. This is kind of a sad story because, excuse me for coughing, guys. All right. Ashley says, about a year and a half ago, I almost died after a bad breakup. I devoted so much of my energy to making the relationship work that I had completely neglected my own needs, and I'd given away my power and my responsibility for happiness. She said, I struggled to eat, sleep, or continue my daily functioning. I spent every waking hour to myself trying to understand how and why I had gotten there. I had to know, because whatever it was, if I didn't attend to it, it was going to be the end of the road for me. And I'm still locked up in it. So how can I find self-love so I can feel better and happier about myself? Okay. So if you're not sure of what it looks like to love yourself, here's some of the things that I've learned what self-love is. All right. It's not a destination. It's a practice. Okay. So just to you, Ashley, thank you so much for writing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And I really appreciate, you know, you being really open about what happened to you and how you're dealing with it. Without self-love, build a happier life with self-love. So what does it look like? It means to choose ourselves, even if it means upsetting others and not being popular anymore. Even if it means that we have to like leave a party before anybody else because we feel tired and overwhelmed, or, you know, we're just done with the crowd I have a lot of people who do this. They're like, everybody's getting drunk. I'm not happy. And this party's weird. There's like too much drama and I don't want to do this. So I leave early. Good for you. Choosing yourself, right? You know, they might talk bad about you or say so-and-so left the party earlier. So-and-so doesn't want to come here or be with us to go get drinks or whatever. You know, you got to take care of you. Do what feels good to you. Now, I don't mean isolating, that kind of thing. I mean, just if you don't feel it, don't do it. Okay. Also, here's what I've learned also, what loving yourself means. It's telling what is true for us, not swallowing words that express what we truly feel, think, or want to do. So telling what is true for us, all right, not swallowing the words that express what we truly feel, what we truly think, or want to do. We get to share truth with people or ourselves, how we really feel. Right? And I'm not talking about blurting out or being blunt or being disrespectful or mean to other people. I'm just saying, what is true for you? Express your feelings. Get a good therapist you can talk to if you want an objective person in your life and you don't have a family member or a friend who you think, might not judge you at all. Reach out to find it. So you're not shoving down those thoughts all the time. Okay. Also, you know this one, how to kind of take care of yourself, self-love. Give your body some nurturing. Okay. You need to rest. You need to get sleep. You need to get a lot of that, you know, delta and REM phase. That means a good number of hours to sleep. Okay. All right. You need to get good exercise. You need to probably eat the best you can. And I'm not saying you have to be really total vegan but try to eat healthy foods every day, a little bit. All right. What else can make us feel good? Let's think. Well, I know that wearing clothes that make me feel good and fits my personality, you know, is sort of a fun thing. Instead of like wearing clothes that are in fashion or that, you know, I'm trying to impress others or what. It's what makes me feel good. So that's kind of self-love. Dressing me up. Doing my hair the way I like it. I don't care what other people think. You know, it's what I feel good in. Okay. So let's also think about, what is self-love? What are some of the other ideas that I can give you? Building a life that we love while we're single. How's this one? This is a really common one that I think about for a lot of my patients. What that means is building a life that we love while we're single instead of waiting for our prince or our princess to show up to explore life and to be happy. Waiting for that special person who matches with us online and who's kind of cute. You know, it's like, don't wait. Treat you. Love yourself. Do things for you. Yes, it's wonderful to find a partner. Lovely. It's great. Keep yourself out there. But don't every time you match with someone think, is this the perfect one for me? And build them on a pedestal and create a halo effect for them just because they're good looking or they have interests that are similar to yours. See how it goes. Reach out. Take your time. Accepting yourself. Okay. Don't wait for the prince or princess to show up and create your life for you. You create your life first. If you love that which you are, like that which you are, then you'll be better for somebody else. It's just the way it is. Then you'll have more stuff to give because you feel comfortable. You feel complete in yourself enough not to be needy. That's the way it works. Excuse me. So those are thoughts that we have about what self-love looks like. Let's accept ourselves. How do we accept ourselves? With the good, the bad, the ugly, the sexy, all of it. appreciating ourselves as whole people. Just accept ourselves. We all have bad moods. We all look bad. Well, some don't, you know, but we all think we do. Sometimes we don't like certain things about ourselves or our body or our personalities, or we just have to accept ourselves and say, you know, it is what it is. I have bad moods. I don't feel good. It is what it is. Just accept yourself. It's cool. Everybody has issues. Okay. Another thing that I think is really important, what does self-love look like? Making time to do whatever you love, right? Just to play, whatever, without worrying about wasting time. That is huge. So many people go, I was not productive today. You know, I did an hour yoga class. I watched my favorite junk show that I like to binge on. Trashy. I love, you know, I watched this reality show and I just love it. So what? Enjoy. I play video games for 2 hours. Okay. That's great. I went to In-N-Out Burger and I had fries and a chocolate malt and a double-double. Good for you. Let it go. Treat yourself. Don't worry about wasting time all the time. Stop it. Oh, I didn't do this today. There are days that you need to give yourselves a break. You don't always have to be productive or doing something. Just hang out, play. Treat yourself, please. All right. Now, here's something else too. Owning your inner and outer beauty and complimenting yourself. Whoa, that's a hard one. That's what self-love looks like. All right. That's without feeling guilty, right? That's without feeling like you're being arrogant. You're not. Or entitled. You're not. Just owning your inner and outer beauty. What do you love about yourself? Within yourself. Oh, I like the fact that I love animals. Good. There you go. What do you love about your outer beauty? Nothing. Oh, come on. Think of something. Come on. What do you really like? Well, I like my eyes. There you go. Okay. Owning the inner and outer beauty. All right. Finding self-love. Here we go. Right here on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle. I'm giving you suggestions. All right. And this is what we talked about lastly about letting go of negative fears. Okay. Do not rehash your past mistakes. Do not drag yourselves to a dark place when you know that you can only learn from the past. You can't change the past. Do not rehash the past. Do not live, oh, I did this. I was so stupid. Oh, I hurt so bad. Stop. Love yourself. Ashley, girl, let go. The relationship that hurt you so bad that you talked about at the beginning of your email, it wasn't right for you. You had to learn from that. What can you learn? What did you learn? The kind of guy you don't want to be with in the future? Yeah. What qualities do you want? Write those down. All right. I always suggest as well that to discover more loving yourself is really spending some quality connected time with yourself. And I'm talking about instead of like always watching TV or wasting time on the internet, we waste so much time on the internet. You know, how many emails do you have to blow off in the morning? You know, don't waste time reading junk. I really suggest you try to pull away from social media a lot. Just try. You know, it's an addiction. I'm admitting it. I get addicted to it sometimes. I have gotten addicted. You have to pull away from it because much of it is a campaign. I find myself while I'm waiting in offices or have appointments watching ridiculous TikToks. It's kind of fun sometimes, but actually what we have to do is, you know, just connect with ourselves. And that's like going within. Just kind of, you don't have to go into deep meditation or whatever. Sit in the quiet wherever you're at. If you can go outdoors, I always say do that. And just connect with yourself. Just be quiet. You know, try to quiet your mind. And just go, I'm just going to be still. Be in the now. Look at the trees. Look at the sky. I don't know, whatever you look at that might be around you outdoors. Focus on that, being in the now. And just take time with you. Stop calling your friends. Stop texting. Stop emailing. Stop it. Stop posting. Take some downtime for you. Okay. I also suggest that people draw boundaries, you know, a lot with some people, because sometimes if we tell certain people too much information, you know, we get things kind of thrown back at us. I think we have to keep a lot of personal stuff sometimes. And this is not talking about don't share your feelings with people you trust, because you got to get feelings out with people you trust. But sometimes it's nice to have your own little manifestation. So use discretion when you're sharing your heart or yourself or your dreams with others. You know, sometimes don't blurt it out so much. Keep it within. Visualize what you like in a positive way. Just be there. And that's part of also what I was talking about. Just spending some quality connected time with you. Close your eyes and envision what you'd like for you in the future. The good stuff. Don't go to the dark side. The good stuff. Okay? And if you trust on the path that you're on, you know, you can make a genuine effort to become a conscious creator of your own destiny. That's all that manifestation stuff. And I get emails from people saying, oh, that's just, you know, that's woo-woo stuff and all that. You know, manifestation and Esther Hicks and all that. Yeah. No, it's not. It's kind of into science about that which we think is that what our life is about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just making a genuine effort to become a conscious creator. So you have to change some of those negatives. Just my luck. This is going to happen. Just my luck. This is going to be what's going on. Knowing me and what has happened to me. Nope. You got to consciously create the new stuff. And stop blaming other people for your current problems. You know, I mean, yeah, we can always blame our parents or our siblings or the bad bullies, meanies at school. But don't blame folks for our current issues. Just kind of say, you know what, I'm going to take over. And I choose to sort of take care of me now. Yeah. So we can also reach out to objective people, like, you know, even a coach, or there's healers, there's therapists, of course, ministers, rabbis, whatever. Okay. So just take responsibility and reach out to folks to give you more direction towards, you know, healing yourself a little bit better. Okay. Something else that I think is really important in how we can find self-love is getting in touch with our gut or our intuition. What does that say instead of living out of our brain and living out of our ego fears? That is all part of what I was talking about when we have to spend some quality connected time with ourselves and trust the path. Go silent. Ask yourself, what do I need to solve this problem? Stop your thoughts and some things will come to you. If you ask your higher self, yourself, what can I do? Follow your gut. Follow your intuition. Don't live out of your brain and ego. Brain and ego is analyzing and fear sometimes. All right. Allow yourself to dream big, by the way. When you're relaxing and spending time with yourself and you're imaging things, you know, don't contaminate these dreams with judgments or limitations or a lack of I don't deserve. Just dream big. Visualize awesome future things for yourself. Okay? So, talking about finding the best partner and being hurt by relationships, going back to what Ashley told me, you know what I'm saying? About being really hurt. She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep. She was having a horrible time because she was hurting so bad. Even if we land the best partner on the planet, this person will never, ever, ever be able to make you happy and make you feel loved unless you create the space for it inside by practicing your own self-love, right? And this is why self-love is an inside job. And I always say that to people, okay? And again, it doesn't mean being narcissistic. It doesn't mean being an egotist and none of that, okay? No one else can offer these things to you. They can make life easier. You know, they can brighten us up, but they can't fill us up. Nobody else can take our vitamins for us or prevent us from going into self-loathing. We have to take care of ourselves. Okay? Just love and accept ourselves, even when we make mistakes or we get hurt or we self-sabotage. It's like, okay, I did that. I don't know why. I just guess I think I don't deserve it, but I do. Get back on your feet and continue to do some of the things that I suggested you to do. All right. So that's what self-love means. And I thank you so much for reaching out on that particular issue. I know you're going to heal and feel better, Ashley. Do listen to this show again. Just pull up latalkradio.com and, pull up on the couch. And this will be in the rerun as soon as we get off the air. You know, if you'd like to find out more information about what we're talking about. So, we've talked about letting go of negative fears and what self-love is all about and taking care of ourselves. So what we're going to find out is let's find out more about understanding our higher selves. And this is a great email I received at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And it says, hey, Doc, I love some of the guests you have interviewed who talk about finding our higher selves, being happier in general, and talking about understanding our soul's true purpose. Okay. I don't understand how to find or define my soul. And I want to know why that's so important. Okay. So the thing is, I think a really important task, it's the word, whatever word you want to use, it's your higher inner self that I was just talking about, is spending some time with you and your higher inner self. And I think we all have that, right? It's understanding the nature of the soul or the higher inner self that we have within us is one of the most fundamental and essential tasks on the spiritual path. If you've ever, been really, I don't know, if you're religious or whatever, well, that's wonderful. If you have a particular religion and you pray a lot, in those moments, or you meditate a lot or whatever that is, just to help understand your question, how do you find your soul? I mean, we all have those quiet moments. This is fundamental 101 here, but it's being within yourself. Those moments in your religion where you're praying or you're honoring your higher power, whoever that may be, okay, you connect with that. And the you that connects with that higher power, that is your higher self, all right? It is your true nature, okay? We all, from what I've learned from physicists I've studied with, the spiritual teachers I've learned from and interviewed on my show, is life at its core energy is us, our soul or our higher peace. It is who we are. It is the sum total that animates us and it moves us. It even speaks to us in quiet moments when we need guidance. And that's going within. It just sort of provides us with a kind of inner voice. We ask questions quietly to ourselves and to maybe our higher power, bring me direction with this particular problem. It's our soul that we hear, it's this little voice inside, I think, reminding us that there's more that we can become. And it's our soul that suffers when we don't nourish it by integrating a spiritual component into our lives and striving to give our lives meaning and purpose. So, even studying this, it's like the precise origin of the word soul is, it's really, they haven't really traced it to anything, but it comes from a variety of words from the Old English, soul or sal. It's S-A-W-L. Dutch has a similar sound. It's aziel, Z-I-E-L. German is seele, S-E-E-L-E. And other, you know, languages. So soul is, of course, always been around, that concept. So let's just take a look at, you know, some of the things that, what this really means and how you can find it. So it's, again, I think it's your higher self, right? And a lot of people ask things like, do bad people, you know, rapists and killers and all that have souls? You've heard of, he has no soul, she has. Well, my understanding is that we're all born with a higher self, okay? And it's just that some people lose connection with them because of their ancestral or societal, from, you know, their families, childhood traumas, things like that. And sometimes trauma is so intense that the person loses complete connection with their higher inner self or their soul. And it's barricaded because of these past traumas or problems behind a wall of rage or hatred or pain or grief, toxic beliefs, you know, wounds, things like that, right? And that's, I think, many times why a person can't be, you know, seen as soulless or dead inside in some sense. It's because they become totally separated from the warmth of compassion of themselves, and other people have shown them or treated them poorly in their life, you know. So I just, a side note here, what I sometimes used to do when I was started out my career in psychology, and I was writing, you know, a lot of articles on interviewing people with problems, and I was still in radio back in the time as well. But what I used to do is go visit some of the prisons. This is when I worked up in Northern California, up in San Francisco. And I spent visitation sometimes with some of the prisoners at well-known Vacaville. Yeah, that's hardcore. And I've really spoken to a lot of people who seemingly, a lot of people said, you know, they don't have a soul. They've lost their soul and all that. Well, when I've interviewed a lot of these people, they have had a lot of trauma and rage, self-hatred, pain, grief, toxic beliefs. They've been through so much pain that they haven't found who they are again. But, you know, and the prison has not really rehabilitated them unless there's some kind of a, you know, belief system that helps them regain that. But anyway, that was just a side note. I wanted to sort of, you know, explain that. So again, it's like, how can you find your higher self or your soul? So most people are confused about like a difference between the soul and the spirit. And I know they often sound similar, but they're, to me, they're kind of not the same thing. The soul is connected with the earth, right? I mean, that's spirit is in our religious or higher beliefs. So, you know, those are the things that I have learned just from studying. It's what I believe, you know, so it may not be the real deal or something like that. So what is the ultimate purpose of our soul, supposedly? We all have purpose, I think. We all need to find our own purpose. That's our higher self. And it's sort of something that is programmed into us at a core level, something that we fulfill, something I think we're all born with. What do we need to learn in this life? That can be our purpose. What do we need to learn in our life? You know, we can observe this in the world around us, like life is programmed to grow and change and expand. You know, we all go through change. So the ultimate purpose of the soul, based on fundamental observation, is to grow and mature and be a higher person. What does a higher person mean? Being more loving, more kind, helping others, loving that which you are, taking care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. And that's the way it works. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and I thank you so much for being here on the couch with me today. Thanks for joining me. And next week, I have an amazing guest coming on the couch here. Same place on latalkradio.com. You can check out this on Channel 1 because I'm going into reruns now. Thanks for joining me. Have a beautiful week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.